The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a fresh edition of A Numbers Game. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bar Canada at the Dean, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Ben Wilson here on VSiN and the DraftKings Network. A very happy Kelly Bidlin, our producer, right next to me on the desk, because NBA is back tonight, Kelly.
Yeah.
Let's go. The wait is over.
I was going to say, man, don't call me out just because Charm's on TV, okay?
There's a lot of
Charm is on a lot of TVs in here, okay?
It may or
NBA's
may not.
NBA's back, though. Let's go, baby.
Well, they've already got TNT set up for you. That's
right. Yeah,
your
ready to go.
Time-honored tradition is waking up after, you know, a random slumber after having NBA on TNT on, and you get some random show.
That's right. Yeah, every morning. Every morning, one of my TVs has Charmed on. That's
TV
for sure. When I turn them on. Every single, what is it, after it'll be Wednesday and Friday mornings.
Yeah. And now with the NHL, we had TNT last night for NHL.
That's right.
Bruins Oilers game. So you've got to cover now, if you really want to, like 4 days a week.
And that's right.
We're coming on here. Kelly rattling through every single character of the Charmed franchise. always great. We will talk NBA. We have a lot of different NBA topics today. Tim Murray, our colleague, joins us to talk college basketball in a half hour as well. A lot of great games. A tremendous upsets last night on the card as well. We'll not only do college basketball, but we will do heavy NBA. Nick Whalen, our pal over at RotoWire, will join us as well, top of our next hour. And then Matt Grissom to talk college baseball, outstanding college baseball analyst for College Insiders, joins us at 11:30 Eastern because the people have spoken, Kelly. They want college baseball talk today and tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
I mean, if you're going to be on the
give it to them.
If you're going to be on this show, Ben, yeah, you got to give the A&G audience what they want. That's college baseball stuff. So we're doing it. Yeah, we're going.
We got it. You can do the ESPN Plus, the quad box on your Apple TV, and it's been great. You got college basketball, and then I've got some random like Oklahoma Dallas Baptist game. I'm like, this is awesome. We're back.
That's great.
College baseball. Well, NBA's back tonight, and already we have stars sitting, and the biggest star in the league, it's LeBron James, who announces yesterday he is out for tonight's game. Lakers at Warriors, expected to headline the start of the second half. I guess second half in quotes, since we are well past the halfway point, but second half post All-Star break. And Kelly, you got all over this thing right away. We opened 3 yesterday, and with that news coming out on LeBron, quickly got up to 4.5, and now we sit 6 market-wide as we sit 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, just macro real quick on LeBron. This is, he did kind of warn about this. I didn't really think it was going to happen when he brought it up, Ben. I just thought it was kind of we're limping to the end of the NBA season. Everybody's kind of banged up a little bit. But this is a big time game tonight for where these two teams are at in the standings. So for him to be missing this, definitely a bit of concern. If you are a Lakers backer or, you got futures tickets on the Lakers, or if you're a Lakers fan, I was kind of surprised to see that come down yesterday. I did jump on the Warriors when it was moving, Ben. I only caught it, though, at 5. So I got the Warriors -5 tonight. Frankly, though, you talked about where this opened at. With LeBron James being ruled out, I'm surprised this number hasn't gotten bigger on the Golden State side. I would think it probably does as we go through the course of the day here. And people, people remember, hey, the NBA's back. Let me see what I can bet tonight. And Lakers-Warriors will jump out to them. I would expect this gets closer to 6.5, 7, something like that. LeBron James is worth more than 3 points to a line. I think it's probably playable still at 6. These are two teams that I have rated fairly close together. So you talked about what 3, 3.5 pretty much being the opener, right? That's right where I thought it would be, should be at. Now you're talking about a move only up to 6 with LeBron out. I think it's still bettable at 6, or you could look to attack this one live tonight.
And for LA now, just going forward, and we'll do the full breakdown here of the not only the in-season odds, because you have win total odds that are out there right now. Kelly and I each have selected our favorite ones to talk about. I don't want to step on your toes if you chose the Lakers here, Kelly, but this is a team that has the 10th toughest strength of schedule remaining.
Yeah.
You already have LeBron after a long absence now sitting out the first game, a huge marquee game out of the break. You're +105 to make the playoffs. You're right in the heart of that chase right now, and +105, that is assuming you win your play-in tournament games, because the Lakers right now are the 9 seed and they're 2 back of the Kings, 2.5 back at Dallas for the 7 seed, and that first team there in the play-in tournament. A team that has been up and down all season under head coach Darvin Ham, and you're left wondering, well, if this is the case for LeBron coming out of healthy rest, what's it going to be like when the Lakers need to win games down the stretch against a lot of really good competition?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, we're going to talk win totals next segment. I think both of these teams, You could make great cases for, I think you could make good cases to bet an under on current win totals for Golden State and LA. But man, we're looking, if you're watching at home right now, you're seeing exactly what the standings are looking like and what the play-in tournament situation could be. I still have enough faith in the greatness of players that are LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, that those teams are going to be fighting hard and not fall at least out of that picture there in those 9-10 spots. So probably it wouldn't be an under bet for me on either one of those teams, but I can understand if that's the way you're looking on each one of them.
Yeah, so, and both teams certainly trended really well heading into the break. Lakers win 7-10, Warriors 8-10, both top five in offensive rating over the last 15 games. So there are things to like about both teams, especially on the Lakers front, though. No LeBron tonight, understandably so. That line has zoomed up. So we'll talk about those win totals coming up here in a little bit. Again, Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us as well. Also a big hoops night. I was trying to get Kelly here to watch some college basketball last night. You obliged, Kelly, and you caught a really good night. We had upsets galore. Man, and if you're betting this stuff, especially like if you're playing favorites and they're up big late, and let's say you had Illinois last night, who were up 7 with 40 seconds to go, were covering against Penn State. Not only do they not cover, they lose the game outright. And it's part of this growing trend now, Kelly, where we always love to poo-poo the idea of what does it really matter, the rankings. Bettors don't care. Odds makers don't care. But there is this interesting development here in the college basketball season where the ranked teams on the road against unranked teams. Now, if we're just talking straight up, setting aside the odds, are only winning at a 55% clip this year. That is on pace for by far the worst record in the modern AP poll era. Think about that, 55% straight up, and that's including everybody. I mean, that even includes, when Marquette goes on the road against DePaul as a 20-point favorite. That's everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably the smaller conference ones are the ones where it's more shocking, right? Because you usually have one or two of those teams that might be at the top, and then you've got some bottom feeders that they can beat up on. So, yeah, that is pretty stunning.
Like Penn State upsets Illinois last night, 90-89, had a 4% win probability with one minute to go. That was crazy. LSU stuns Kentucky at the buzzer last night there. Kentucky was ranked 17th. So it's fascinating how this has worked, and we kind of juxtapose this too with one other recent trend that tends to be bet a lot, and it's the whole idea of the unranked home team who's actually favored against the ranked road team. So what I just said, Kelly, you would assume, oh, this thing has been a great betting vehicle this year.
Yeah.
And yet, it actually hasn't, at least against the number, because the odds makers have adjusted so well that, really these numbers have gotten inflated to the point where you're better off taking the dog. We had one example of that last night where Colorado State goes to New Mexico. I'm based on the closing line, I made a really bad bet. I bet Colorado State on the opener +6, close +8.5 in some shops, Kelly. Game was played within 3 pretty much the whole way. There was a brief stretch where New Mexico got up 6 or 7 early second half, but that was a tight game all the way. One of the best games of the season as the two teams exchanged buckets back and forth in the final 2 minutes. Just go back and watch the final 2 minutes of that game if you haven't already. I mean, it was an unbelievable finish, but that's another example of how that line at 8.5 at close was ridiculously high, and we're now 18-18 against the number. This season, you're losing money if you just bet those spots situationally. Even in a season where the ranked road teams are doing horribly on the road, it still has not really manifested into actually cashing tickets.
Yeah, I think it's just a good overall point about trends, right? Like it is, what was our old friend Jimmy Vaccaro say? Trends don't pay the rent. That is the case. You need to make sure you're tracking these things every year. And look, I think in general, right, that is it's a solid overall trend to be aware of every college basketball season if you are betting college basketball regularly. But yeah, it's not every game is not created the same. Every matchup's not created the same. And then some of these years it turns into stuff like that. So it's not shocking to hear that's happening.
Right. The other part of this, too, and it's not, again, what are we looking for? Actionable information, right? I don't know how actionable this is. It's more just a commentary for, a lot of the casual bettors who, they see Selection Sunday coming up. They're or wanting to get involved now. They're at least paying attention here to the lines every day. This has been, as far as I can remember, Kelly, one of the worst years for pro bettors in college basketball in a really, really long time. And, we were joking last night just over text how, the one side I bet that was, a pro side that moved 2 points in my direction, I was never close to covering with Alabama. The one side where I was totally against the smart money was an easy win. I mean, and that's kind of how this college basketball season has been. There's a really respected syndicate that's been doing this for a really long time that is having their worst season ever. and that has been a very publicly known thing in the betting circles. That's not to say you should just say, oh, what are the pros betting? Go the other way. It's just more to have that context now going forward where you really need to be going deeper into your analysis of these games if you're a bettor and not just blindly saying, oh, hey, two-point line move here. Great situation there. Yeah. Let me just follow that because it has not been profitable whatsoever. And you only know that that is going to grow as we go to the NCAA tournament where the variance rises and you have much more handle and action on these games.
Yeah, I think it applies to – I mean, look, I've noticed that big time in the NBA this season too where I feel like I have been – kind of like you had last night, whatever number I'm grabbing moves against me, ends up closing. I could have gotten a better number. And, you know, majority of them, I'm still cashing. I think there's some of that has to do with, so you know, every single year we're going to bring this up, you know, until all 50 states, I guess, are legalized. But we've got more and more bettors in the market every single year. So yeah. It does mess with your head. But I think I've been lucky that when those were happening to me early in the NBA season, I was still winning them enough that I didn't really let it affect my betting. But because it is, you know, over the long run, that closing line value, it's called value for a reason. You are getting value if you're getting close, you know, if you are getting value on whatever the closing number is, if you're getting a better number than what that is, over the long run, that is going to turn into winning bets for you. But it's season to season, it can change a little differently. Yeah. And you are seeing some people in better stuff.
Not like we're sitting out here saying, oh, yeah, you should feel great about yourself. You take +6 and the game closes nine.
Right, exactly.
It's just more something to keep in mind here as we go forward here. There's only a few weeks left in the college basketball regular season. And then Selection Sunday right around the corner as well. When we come back, we'll dive into NBA in-season win totals with the post-All-Star break schedule starting tonight here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you haven't already, check out the brand new VSiN.com with a fresh look, enhanced navigation, mobile-first focus, improved functionality, and expanded educational content. If you go on the website right now, how about this, Kelly? You ready for spring training baseball?
Whoo, let's go.
Let's go, indeed. Starts this weekend. And our Adam Burke has a great article right now, right? Right? It's a splash on the homepage. How to bet spring training baseball. Which I look forward to reading because I would admit, I usually laugh at people who bet spring training baseball, but there is a method to that madness. You can make money off it.
I had a system for that back in the day, but that's when I was technically covering spring training baseball, and I would just show up before everybody else and see when the lineup got posted on the door.
You'd go out to your local
old Roger Dean Stadium up there in Jupiter, Florida.
So go out to the old Jupiter Country Club. Hey, who's on the first tee right now versus who's in the club? Okay, I'm gonna.
That was the only thing I had though. It was like, okay, if there's a, you know, you get those spring training games where. Yeah. Is there a star or two playing in it, or is it nobody playing in it, right? Yeah.
Or the split squads where you don't know who's going
right,
where.
Right, exactly. The split squads, yeah, where they're all over the place. Yeah.
My dad told me he was going to a spring training game in Scottsdale, and he's walking in there excited to watch the guys. And as they're walking in, like four stars from the Brewers are walking out to
getting
go to
on
the,
a bus.
They're like, whoa. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to the golf course. And it was like third inning. You know, they were done. They were done for the day. We will have a lot more baseball to come, especially when Gil gets back next week. But right now, post-All-Star break in the NBA resumes tonight, and we are talking our favorite win total bets that you can bet right now. These are available at DraftKings, a number of other markets as well. Now that we have, for the most part, about 25 games left in the 82-game regular season, we'll go back and forth here, Kelly. I'll start with my favorites. We'll go back and forth with you. I'll go to the negatives first. And if there is a team I'm looking to fade, if we're trying to extrapolate out teams that are going to be not only in sell mode, because we're after the deadline, but teams who are in absolutely zero incentive to win mode, the Washington Wizards are at the top of this list. They're 9-45 so far. And yet for the rest of the season, the win total is set at 16.5. There's a little bit of underjuice with that. But for Washington to go over that number, they would need to go 8-20 over their final 28 games and have the eighth toughest remaining strength of schedule. It's a team that, while they still have Denny Avdia, who's been a great, great stats, bad team guy, and Jordan Poole is just basically freelancing, doing whatever the hell he really wants to. Now, this is a team that leads the league in pace. They love to go fast, and yet they don't defend anybody. 27th in defensive rating this season. They have not been able to shoot threes very well all year, despite taking a ton of them. 27th in threes and are third last in offensive rating as a whole. You know, it's one of those weird things, Kelly. If you're going to go fast in the NBA and you are making that part of your core identity, you would think you'd at least be somewhat good at it. the other teams in the NBA who are right, top five in pace, the Milwaukee Bucks, Atlanta Hawks, and the Indiana Pacers, they all rank top 10 in offensive rating.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. If you are a good team in transition and pushing tempo, you should make that part of your identity. If you're not, why would you keep going down that path? Yet Washington has, in the interim, head coach Brian Keefe is in there just trying to, you know, help
get through the season.
Help get through the season, essentially.
Because
they've been doing this from day one.
Exactly. And you're right. It's been them running into a wall every time. Just real quick, you know, kind of a little bit nuance on the NBA season, right? We keep hearing everybody go crazy about the high scoring and stuff.
Yeah.
A large part of it is because you have teams like the ones you just listed off that are so efficient offensively and high-paced offensively and then suck defensively.
Exactly. And again, teams that lean into that for no apparent reason. And also Washington now, you have a really tough schedule going forward. The other thing too, the starting lineup has been super consistent. They've barely missed any games. You got to think as you get later, I mean, Kyle Kuzma for the second straight year, a deadline candidate, does not get moved from Washington, which I was surprised at. Second straight year, I've been rooting for Kuzma to go to the Bucks, Kelly. As a Bucks fan, that didn't happen. And you kept Avdija still there through the deadline. Poole's been starting every game. You would think as the season goes on, some of those guys start the old DNP CD parentheses rest.
Yeah,
go forward.
I think overall, just when you're looking at this market in general, and I'm kind of mad at Ben because I really spent a lot of time on this and deep diving into these yesterday because I was convinced I was going to find one or two bets that I would actually make. I didn't. I got a lot that I leaned to, including this Wizards underplay. I think you're right, but the biggest point I think that you can make is these win totals are set right now. You're going to find more value on the unders in most of these than overs because there's too many things that you can bring up, right? So some of these bad teams, just getting DMPs on some of the star players, not wanting to risk injuries. If you've got teams, obviously, that are in playoff positions, teams that you could make a bit of a tanking argument for, even though we don't really have, you know, a clear top, you know, couple great NBA talents, prospects coming out in the draft. There's still always more reasons to play an under at this point in the season than an over usually.
I definitely found myself gravitating toward that and just looking, you know, down the list. There were a few overs, though, that you look at and you go, based on the current team roster construction, there are definite paths to finding a lot of success down the stretch. The Miami Heat are a team. I look at the changes they've made and all the injuries that the Heat have had to overcome, currently sitting 45.5 on their in-season win total, which means they'd have to go 16-11 over their final 27 games, but have the fourth easiest strength of schedule in that span. Heat have used 29 different starting lineups, 190 games missed, and yet they've started to find their stride 13th in offensive rating last five games before the All-Star break. And the Terry Rozier trade, while he is out right now, expected to come back in a week or two with a knee injury, that has completely changed the dynamic on offense because with Rozier now in, the penetration is so much better for Miami. He's able to drive, find open corner shooters where the Heat are now averaging over 11.5 corner threes a game. That would lead the NBA on the entire basis of the season. So you set up your dead-eye three-point shooters like a Duncan Robinson and a Tyler Hero, each 40%+ three-point shooters, by the way. And now Miami just has so much more cohesion on offense, along with a defense that has been rock solid all year, the best defense in overall rating in the month of February. Once everybody's healthy and into the fold, which should happen in the next couple of weeks, I really like Miami to make a deep run. They are not the team that is currently sitting seventh in the East. They are much better than that unit, and 16-11 is very much attainable over the final stretch.
Yeah, I think the one, arguments for over and the unders, right? Okay, they're a team that's currently in that seven seed in the East. You're going to think they're also going to be doing everything they can to get out of that play-in situation and get into the top six. So you're not, you know, that's a situation where some of these guys, where even maybe if Jimmy Butler could use a night off, isn't going to get one because they really do need to get into that top six. I don't hate it. I just don't believe in this Heat team at all. But
I know you have a very love-hate relationship.
Exactly. But I felt the same way last year, and, you know, look what happened. I think that I love the Terry Rozier trade. I do love that. I think that there is a good chance that they do look like a different team down this final stretch. And as we get into the playoffs, as you mentioned, so many of the starting lineups have changed over and over again because of the injuries. If they can get everybody back on the court, find some consistency, maybe they can put this together. Just the season-long offensive numbers have been so poor for them. It's just hard for me to trust them right now, especially while Rozier's out, where there is still some questions on, you know, what that, how long that might be here.
I know, but I mean, Butler's been out for 2.5 weeks, had the personal absence, the death in the family. He's expected, you know, to be back soon, but yeah, all sort of big angles there to keep in mind here with the Heat down the home stretch. For you, Kelly, you know, you didn't end up with any bets here, but what did you end up liking on the, at least the lean side here?
Yeah, there was kind of five that I isolated, and three I was going to talk about here, but Wizards was one that stuck out to me. I think another bottom feeder or a bottom team I'm going to bring up real quick too is Pistons. I think Pistons under 14.5. We need to finish 7-21 to go over.
You see Monty Williams out here saying, "Yeah, we're gonna keep fighting hard." It's like, "Oh, really, Monty? Now you're going to try?"
Right, exactly. Now you keep in mind this is a team that, like, I was higher on them beginning of the season, but we've gotten to a point now where, okay, they've also traded away good players. Bogdanovich isn't there anymore. Monte Morris got traded away. So they've also lost some players. I think that's one you could look at as well. The other one that didn't put on the graphic, but I think is one I could be attracted to as well, and I've heard several other NBA handicappers mention, is the Suns. Suns under 48.5, just because you're not going to push some of those veteran players as you get closer. However, I will bring up kind of same thing with the Miami Heat, of them being very close to that play-in situation that you want to avoid as much as you possibly can and stay inside that top six. So that's the only reason where it didn't become a stronger lean or a bet for me on the Suns. To get into the ones I do like, Magic over 45.5. I don't think this is a team that's going anywhere in the Eastern Conference. They finally are getting guys back healthy. We're seeing Paolo Banchero have another great season. Franz Wagner back in the lineup. They are playing much better team basketball. They need to finish 16-11 to go over that mark. Easiest schedule left in the NBA. And then they, again, avoiding that play-in race, it would be crucial. The way I would play this, though, wait till they play the Cavs probably tonight. I did bet the Magic tonight, actually, with the points, but you're talking about a 7-point spread in that game tonight. I took +7.5. I didn't bet the money line, though. I would think if you're worried about that game tonight, wait till tomorrow. At least the juice will change on this, if not the number by a game. Real quick, then, Timberwolves under 56.5. This is just... Look, they got to finish 17-10. They hit this over. You don't have a really tough schedule left, but they play all the marquee teams in the Western Conference. So I know there's some people really high on Minnesota and them needing to get home court advantage. It's just easier said than done with what they do have left on the schedule. And the Jazz under 37.5. I think this goes into what you brought up about the Wizards and some of their players. Jazz not going anywhere. Sure. Could see some time on the bench. They'd have to go 12-14. Hit the over. Fourth toughest schedule remaining. This is one I'd be looking to after tonight when they play the Hornets.
I like it. We'll transition, talk a little college hoops with our pal Tim Murray on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSIN.com/pro. And speaking of our college basketball experts, we have Tim Murray coming up with us right now here on a numbers game. We had a great card last night, Kelly. Unfortunately, tonight leaves little to be desired. Kelly, you were saying because of the NBA coming back, that was your thought?
Season starts tonight for a lot of people. You got to clear out the college basketball, man.
Meanwhile, Tim shaking his head over at home here as he joins us right now. Tim, going back to last night first, since there's not a ton of great games on the card tonight, and then we'll get into just some big picture stuff. Yeah. What do you make of what's going on with the usage of Rob Dillingham in Kentucky, which has been this consistent story now in SEC play? It's like Coach Calipari barely wants to play him, yet he comes out, he's rising in all the mock drafts in the NBA ranks for next year. Hits a ridiculous fadeaway to give Kentucky a late lead. They then get walked off on a buzzer beater by LSU last night. Seems really bizarre for a Kentucky team that is faded in SEC play and now sits on the 6-seed line as we stand today.
Yeah, it is. It's really, you know, I'm going to use a word that I'm excited to use. Befuddling. Doesn't make a ton of sense when you look at, I mean, I know, Ben, you're more piped into, you know, the draft kind of world than I am, especially with the G League work that you do. But I mean, in a pretty weak draft, he's a guy that's going to be, I don't know if he'll be number one, but he's going to be definitely high up there. And it's really made not a ton of sense. And then this Kentucky team doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, what I'm curious about, guys, moving forward, if you look at, you know, the futures market, and, you know, last night was another case, right? They weren't top 10, as I've heard, you know, veer into Illinois. But, you know, I had Penn State last night, and honestly, I thought I was fortunate to get the cover, and then they win the game outright.
We were just talking about that.
Seven with like a minute to go. So it's just that's just what this year has been. And I think it's going to be a really fascinating tournament. And I think Kentucky, to your point, Ben, is going to be one of those teams where, you know, on the first Friday or whenever, you know, first Friday of the tournament, and Kentucky gets knocked out, we're going to say, yep, we saw it coming. But we could also say this Kentucky team makes a run to the Elite Eight / Final Four. And you're like, yeah, they got the talent out there. So I think they're kind of one of the unique aspects of this entire college basketball season. I mean, look at this run here. You lose at home a couple Saturdays ago to Gonzaga, a team that, I mean, it felt like from the betting standpoint, and I know in, I don't know if a lot of people in Humans contests laid it with Kentucky, but I certainly knew a couple people who just thought that was a slam dunk. They lose that game outright as a 4-point favorite. And then you fast forward to last weekend, guys, and they go to Auburn and they pull out a win as an 8-point dog. And then last night, as you alluded to, they lose to LSU, which was a kind of a classic letdown spot. But I mean, that's what this year in college basketball really has been. And hell, I mean, you could even lump UConn and Purdue into falling into that recently with, you know, Purdue losing to Ohio State. And then, you know, yesterday or two nights ago, losing UConn, losing to Creighton. But, you know, back to your initial answer or question. Yeah, I don't fully understand what Kentucky's doing from a usage standpoint of the talent that they have on this roster. And Coach Cal has done this before. You know, Gary Parrish of CBS has talked about it, where this is not new. I mean, there have been moments. I mean, Devin Booker, look up his numbers from his time at Kentucky. Yeah. He averaged like 17 minutes a game. I mean, it's pretty wild how he will do this. But Kentucky's one of those teams where, you know, for us as bettors, I kind of want them to keep losing just to see if we can, you know, maybe get them. I don't know. It kind of feels a little bit like when Kentucky beat Wichita State when they were the undefeated one seed. Like, could we get them on that 6 line or 7 line and they could be a really sneaky second round kind of, you know, upset type of play?
Yeah, Kentucky was an 8 seed that year, made the run to the Final Four. Yeah, so you still feel bad for but Wichita State drew Kentucky. Still feels like an egregious,
that was brutal,
egregious,
man.
I mean, decision by the committee. I still remember that was, yeah, it was not a fun
undefeated
time.
Undefeated out of the Missouri Valley, and they put them there in the 1 line against Kentucky. What ridiculous.
Yeah, I still remember that. I agree wholeheartedly with you on that, Tim. 10 years later, we go to, and as a result of that, you know, you look at the bubble now, because of all the parity in college basketball, the bubble is as fascinating this year as I can remember, Tim, with so many teams who have either worked their way onto it after seemingly being dead in the water, or now all of a sudden being in peril of missing the tournament after looking like a rock solid team earlier in the season. A team that kind of fits in the former category is Villanova, as we have some of these bubble props right now at DraftKings. I'm shocked that Villanova, there's -130 to make the tournament. They're 15-11. They've gotten hot recently. They're still in the next four out category, at least in Lenardi's bracketology at ESPN. Having 1-3-4, but they still have to go at UConn, do get a home game against Creighton here down the home stretch. And Kyle Neptune's team is playing really good defense right now. Offense still leaves a lot to be desired. What do you make of this home stretch here for Nova as a -130 favorite to get into the big dance?
Yeah, and as we're sitting here, and you know, we talked about it last night, and we're, you know, I think me, JVT, and Jim Root, who was on the show last night, are kind of kicking ourselves because we were throwing around these props, and Cincinnati was one that we said, you know, maybe we play the no after they beat Oklahoma State. Well, they lost to Oklahoma State, and now they are in some trouble. They are, you know, per bracket matrix. And now bracket matrix, I reference it a lot on my show. For those who do not know, bracket matrix is a really good resource to utilize, especially if you want to bet into these markets of the will they or won't they make the NCAA tournament, because it's an aggregation of all the bracketologists out there. But you got to remember, not all of these have populated yet. Not everyone's spitting them out every single day, like you alluded to. So yeah, Villanova, you know, for them, they are very, you know, hard team to figure out when you look at, you know, what their body of work to this point. You know, you think back earlier in the year, Ben, they went, you know, and did that. I think they went to the Bahamas and won some really big games. But, you know, for Villanova, I'm not seeing this as a full on, you know, like they should be a favorite to make the NCAA tournament type of team. I mean, think about it this way. They got UConn on Saturday, so they're going to be a massive underdog in that spot. They still have Creighton, albeit they get that at home. Tricky road game at Providence, at Seton Hall. I would certainly look at right now, without fully diving into, you know, all the yes and no's, but I would look at the no on Villanova at even money, guys, just because of, you know, where they sit right now. What the schedule looks like, it feels like a bit of an overreaction to a, you know, look, a nice win yesterday over Butler, but or 2 days ago, I should say. But I don't know. I mean, you've got road games at UConn, Providence, and Seton Hall still left, and a home game against Creighton, who, you know, is certainly feels like they're hitting their stride at the right time there. So, you know, we'll see what happens here with Kyle Neptune's squad moving forward. But, yeah, I alluded to that, you know, stretch earlier on in the year where they got some nice wins. They, you know, they beat North Carolina, which is helping out. The Memphis win, we'll see. Doesn't look as good as maybe it was when they got it back in late November, as Memphis got a much needed win and they play FAU. You know, the interesting one, Ben, is the team that plays tonight in this yes-no market. It's Gonzaga. You know, Gonzaga is probably one of the last four in at this point in time. They have one quad one win to their resume right now, which is the road game against Kentucky. They'll still have a couple opportunities upcoming as they go to San Francisco and to St. Mary's. But, you know, Ben, we were talking about this last night on the show. They're minus $3 to make the NCAA tournament. I don't see that right now for this Gonzaga team. While they're probably in the field at this point in time, you got to remember some of these bubble teams, if they make a run in their conference tournaments, you just add a lot to your resume. The only reason I wouldn't race to take the 220 is that we know, living here in Vegas, how often this Gonzaga team goes to the Orleans and wins that conference tournament. Yep. So, I mean, obviously, if you win the auto bid, you're getting in and you win your bet. So I wouldn't recommend by any stretch of the imagination minus $3. That price is off. However, I would be nervous to take the plus 220, Ben, just because of the possibility and the reality that Gonzaga in a win, in a must win spot on a Tuesday night in March at the Orleans, AKA Spokane South, that they beat St. Mary's and get the auto bid.
And a healthy 21.5 point favorite tonight on the road against Shantae Leggett's Portland Pilots. So, you know, it's not like the competition is great there night in, night out in the WCC. As Tim Murray joins us right now, host of VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday here on the network. Follow him at 1 Tim Murray. At least for the other games tonight here, Tim, no place for you. But what do you make of this spot for Wazoo, who's kind of played themselves off the bubble? They've had a really good stretch recently under Kyle Smith, catching 13 on the road in Tucson at Arizona tonight.
Yeah, I would actually look, if anything, look Arizona here. It's a revenge spot for Arizona. And, you know, it's not the same situation, Ben, but we saw this last week, right? Indiana State gets ranked for the first time since 1979. They lose to Illinois State as a 17.5 point favorite. Washington State, a little bit different. First time ranked since 2008. So it has been a long time. Kyle Smith has done an absolutely remarkable job. As you said, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. But Arizona, I kind of think they're kind of going into gear right now. You got that revenge angle. I don't like laying points, but it would be Arizona or pass for me in this spot. I think it's a really good spot for the Cats to make a statement tonight out there in Tucson.
At bettors have been squarely on Arizona. That's moved up a point and a half since the open. He's Tim Murray. Yep. Follow him at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, always great to talk to you, pal.
All right. See you, Ben.
Tim will have his show tonight as well. Check out VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern as well. We'll talk some NBA MVP when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. You can use a no-sweat bet on live betting some golf. Kelly Bidlin tracking the Mexico Open, which is now underway. Tough start for one of your guys, Keith Mitchell, but he's bounced back, Kelly.
I didn't have Keith Mitchell.
Oh, you did?
Everybody else did. Oh, you know. Everybody else
did. Classic me assuming you, you had him.
But I played – I got a lot of my guys are on the course right now. I did play some first-round leaders. We didn't bring it up early because they are all out there on the course right now. I did play Taylor Pendrith, first-round leader, as I played him like in everything this week. I did play Michael Kim, and I did play Doug Kim. I don't know where Doug Kim's at. Oh, he's back to even par. He had a rough start as well. But, I think Michael Kim is the only one right now that looks even remotely threatening in the first-round leader market. But, like we were commenting on it kind of early or first break or before the show, the mixed scoring so far out there. This is usually a pretty easy course, and there's
a lot of guys struggling.
A lot of guys struggling early out there. We and you went rush to check the weather. Nope, that's not an
totally
issue.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
Did we check the what was in the Mai Tais last night at Vedanta Vallarta? That should have been our second order of business there. Cam Champ 4-under through 6 holes. He is +380 live right now to be first round leader as a heavy favorite at the moment. It always always reminds me though when you check that you wake up and you check the scores and your guys are not doing well of the 2022, when I had a first-round leader on Tom Kim at the Wyndham, first hole of his tournament, snowman. I wake up and I'm like, well, I can go back to bed. This is over. Well, Tom Kim ends up going 24-under over his next 71 holes to win the tournament, his first career PGA Tour win. So, I always think back to that.
It happens. And then you chuckle like Cameron Champ. This is like one of the few courses he'll ever win on. He could win on.
Bomber's paradise.
Yeah, exactly.
Here for Champ. I will have more. We'll keep you posted as the tournament and the weekend goes on as far as the Mexico Open goes. Right now, though, Kelly, as we continue our mega NBA day here on the show with the post-All-Star break festivities resuming tonight. And Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us as well in about 50 minutes to talk more big picture NBA. We go to the MVP race where you are still very much believing, Kelly. There is some value to be had here. 4 guys now under 10-1 with the latest odds showing Nikola Jokic, that -135 favorite. Yeah. But based on where we're at right now, reason to believe this thing is far from over with still 25, 28 games or so still to play.
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, it's far from over. The latest Tim Bontemps straw poll from a couple weeks ago, it did seem like there was a lot of Jokic love out there. I'm still kind of questioning how much that happened just very quickly after Embiid getting, the news comes out, he's going to be out, going to get surgery, and that he's kind of disqualified from the race. And very soon after that, the straw poll was put together, and I'm wondering how many people kind of just sent in Jokic without really diving into some stuff where they will with a lot of these people that are voters will do that before they have to submit their official MVP selection. In my opinion, Ben, these Jokic and SGA numbers should be much closer together. We have seen that surprisingly over the All-Star break. That Jokic number has come down. I think it got out to like -150 up at DK. Come down a little bit. We've seen that SGA number get a little shorter. So I think that does make some sense. When you're talking about some of the advanced metrics, EPM, estimated plus minus over dunks and threes, it's a big measurement of individual success, just kind of per 100 possessions. SGA only behind Joel Embiid for the season. If you go into win share, SGA is number one in the NBA, and that is usually highly correlated with who has won the MVP in past years. So I think there's still some value on SGA over 2-1. I think the other movement that we've seen in the market during the All-Star break, so it's not like there's any games being played. It's the next 3 guys below Jokic and SGA here, and it's Giannis keeps getting a little bit longer. Okay, Luka had gotten short, drifted back out. Now he's kind of below that 10-1 mark again. He's at 9-1. And then we've seen this Tatum love recently, which I get that he's the best player on the best team in the NBA. I just think when you start looking statistically at what everybody else is doing, he doesn't really belong in this conversation. I think him and Kawhi Leonard are kind of the same story right now, and it would require Kawhi that team to be the one seed in the West. But those numbers are a little bit more comparable than the 4 guys above them. Luka, I can't get there on. He could be awesome. I do think the Dallas Mavericks are going to be better here. post All-Star break and actually go into the playoffs with some momentum. But where they're currently at record-wise, you just don't – the last time we saw something like this, and one of the few times we've seen something like this for the past 30 years, is when Russell Westbrook averaged over a triple-double for the entirety of a season. And yes, Luka's numbers are close to that, and he's scoring way more than Westbrook did in that year. I still just can't get where that team's at right now in the standings. Seventh in the Western Conference? Yeah, seventh in the Western Conference right now at 32-23. I just don't think he's really realistic of getting home. So I think it goes back to those top three guys, and I don't think Giannis is out of it either. I do think that I got to take a step back on that, having seen the straw poll results where there really wasn't much love for him, you know, at one or even two, not as much as I was expecting, but I think there's still a path for Giannis to get home in this award, too. If you're a believer in the Bucks that they're going to turn this around and actually head into the playoffs with some momentum, with that defense looking a little bit better, you know, the odd part since Doc Rivers come on board is that defense has gotten better. It's been the offense that's taken a step back. I think if they're able to get back to that two seed in the East, beat out the Cavs in that division, get back to the two seed in the East, finish strong here, and that national narrative changes a little bit on the Bucks, people are going to look and see that Giannis is going to have possibly his highest scoring season of his entire career and have more assists in a season than he's ever had in his entire career. I think this conversation gets really interesting with MVP in him. So I already have multiple bets on him. I got a couple on SGA at longer numbers as well. I think they're both very bettable still right now at those current numbers.
Bucks have the third easiest schedule as well coming up, and you have to believe after finally getting a week to at least breathe if you're Doc Rivers. I don't know if I would have gone on the whole media tour that Doc did and explaining all the negatives about the timing of him taking the job for Milwaukee, but I guess he had been in the media this year, so it's understandable.
Yeah.
You would think all the metrics and different circumstances are in line. You know, just comparing the advanced numbers too, where Jokic is usually where he is the guy who sets himself apart, is because the advanced stats are just unassailable, right? And they're so much better. You know, Jokic is, you know, he's about a point better on both offensive rating and defensive rating than Giannis right now. Player impact estimate, I don't know how much you ever look into that, Kelly. It's, you know, it's slightly higher than Giannis, but they're all, you know, they're in the same ballpark right now.
Yeah, correct.
And the team's records are a game and a half different at the moment. For as much as the narrative has been, oh, the Bucks have just been a train wreck for the most part, they're still only a half game out of the two seed in the East. So is there really enough difference there to suggest, okay, should Jokic be that far away from Giannis in the overall odds, just considering the pedigree?
And that is simply my whole point, right? It comes down to the betting odds, and what you look at the betting odds, it implies that there's a bigger difference between, bigger separation between all three of these players, right, than in actuality there is. And just from an NBA fan perspective, Nikola Jokic, he's the best player in the NBA. He's that. He is surpassed. I was beating the Giannis drum for a long time of Giannis being the best player in the NBA. You know that. It is Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, I think pretty clearly in that order as far as the best players. But yes, Jokic is having a great year. Yes, we're going to expect to see that from him every single year. And when you're talking about a season where his numbers are just at least slightly worse overall than what we've seen out of him in MVP years in the past, and then you've got a story in a case like SGA leading a group of, you know, quote unquote nobodies, you know, kind of to where they're at in the Western Conference. I think it's a hell of a story, hell of a narrative, not really being discussed as much as it should be, in my opinion, of what this Thunder team's really doing this year. It's, to me, it's such a great case that if it doesn't happen this year, Ben, where someone can beat out Jokic,
when
is it ever going to happen, right? And that's kind of where I think there's another reason where you could make an argument for a bet on one of these guys, because I think some voters will be thinking that. It's not I don't want to call it necessarily voter fatigue, right? But a reason, you know, Jokic is going to be around in this conversation for the next several years. So a reason to give another guy an award this year, I think some voters will look that way.
Would it be enough? Like, if OKC, what do they have to do? Get to, you know, their win total right now is 54.5. Like, what would it take?
I think they got to be
part of the, you know, part of the team equation here.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, because that definitely plays into a lot of these situations. We brought it up with Milwaukee. I mean, is it one seed in the West? Maybe not, but they got to beat out Denver, right? I think if they beat out Denver, then you could at least point to that. Hey, they had a better season than the Denver Nuggets did. That's another check mark in the SGA camp.
Right now, both teams, 54.5 on the win total. So that would indicate if you were just making this, if you're making that case, right, Kelly, and you're basing it on the team's success because the numbers already are, you know, pretty well documented at this point, pretty good sample size, odds are basically even on those teams who will finish with a better record now, and the odds of the MVP, as we've talked about, not exactly shaded that way. Jokic minus 135 and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at plus 210. Still to come, we will talk more NBA. Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us to kick off hour number two. We'll also have, I want to make sure I talk for a couple minutes about the Auston Matthews, the movement here in the Hart Trophy.
I made a hockey bet.
Kelly Bidlin made a hockey bet. We'll discuss that in hour number two as Matthews gets goal number 50 last night. Shout out to our guests from yesterday, JD, for getting that one. He was all over it. We have a lot to get to still. Hour number two of A Numbers Game starts next.